Let us now turn for our scripture reading to the epistle to the Ephesians in the chapter 6. And we commence reading at the verse 18. The epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6, reading from verse 18 through to the end of the epistle. This is the word of the Lord. Come, let us hear the word of Almighty God. May the Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to receive his precious word. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. To the Ephesians written from Rome by Tychicus, or Tychicus as some might say. The Lord bless his holy word to us this evening and grant us understanding by his Spirit and apply these truths to our hearts. Turning your prayerful attention there to the epistle to the Ephesians and the sixth chapter, and once again in complete dependence upon the Lord for any blessing this evening, seeking the Lord's help. We arrive now in the last few verses of this epistle, which began a good while ago. We've had many sermons through this epistle, and we arrive in this very last section. And no less do we need the Lord's help and his grace to help us this evening. Now, I know as we come to these verses, and certainly when you read the commentaries, they all seem to go a little flat and seem to lose their momentum and strength, and well, just treat these last few verses, certainly many of them, not all of them, just as a matter of closing. But I trust that this will be a great help to us tonight as we look at these verses. Now, of course, not every sermon is going to be a flash-in-the-pan sermon, and not every sermon is going to be as we considered in the early part of this chapter, Ephesians 6, the whole armor of God. What an exciting portion that is. But this, we must say, is most of our ministry is, when we go through consecutive ministry, it's the bread and butter of the Christian. This is what we need for our sustenance. There's often, through these very seemingly mundane verses of Scripture, so much learning and so much that we can mature by, and I trust that that will prove to be the case. So what we read here may not seem as exciting as we've considered at the end of this chapter and some portions of this epistle, but I trust all of it will be spiritual. And not always that which is spiritual is easy to discern. Not always that which is spiritual is so digestible to the Christian. And I trust that the Lord will help us to truly take this in, and this will be our sustenance, and this will prove to be of great help for us. So we come to the verse 21 through to the end. Let me just read once again. That ye may also know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these words come at the end of Paul's request for prayer for him. Remember, as we thought in verse 19, as we read there, "And for me," because he's been speaking about prayer in the verse 18, "and pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." That is his prayer, that he would be given utterance to speak the gospel, to declare it. And then he says, the verse 20, "for which I am an ambassador in bonds." He's in chains, he's in prison, but he is an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the gospel. And he's praying this, that he may therein may speak boldly as he ought to speak. So last time we considered the vital importance of prayer and the need to communicate to others the need or particular needs that we may have in prayer, the importance of asking others to pray for us. But now we want to consider this evening, as we look at the end of this chapter, the vital importance of personal and faithful relationships and communication in the body of Christ, and particularly faithful workers. And we see this man here, Tychicus, or Tychicus, as some would say, and Paul says that he will send Tychicus here to Ephesus, that he, that is Tychicus, might declare his affairs to them. Verse 21, "But that ye may also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your heart." So Tychicus is going to bring this epistle to the Ephesians, and he is going to tell the Ephesians of the Apostle Paul's affairs, his personal matters. Now the great question comes, why did not the Apostle Paul write those personal affairs or those details or concerns, matters for prayer, in this epistle? Well, there are several reasons, and let me just put them to you how I think these are. I believe these are all plausible and ones we ought to think about. Well, first of all, this epistle is not about the Apostle Paul, is it? And we're not saying that to be unkind or anything like that, but it is not about him. It is about the gospel. It's about the Lord's work. It's about God's word. And the Apostle Paul would never want to cloud that. He would never want his personal affairs to get in the way of God's word. They might be more concerned, perhaps, if they read this epistle, to get to the details of what's happening to Paul in prison. Is he in the dungeon? Or is he in some cell somewhere and not take in the details of this epistle? And essentially, who is this given by? This is given by the Holy Spirit, this epistle. And it's about, chiefly, what is it about? It's about the glorious doctrines of God's free and sovereign grace to sinners. And surely that should not cloud these personal matters of the Apostle Paul. And surely it's about the Christian walking worthy since chapter 4. That's what it's about. It's about the need to honor Christ, our King. It's about the need to trust him in all affairs, knowing, especially Ephesians 1:11, that all things work after the counsel of God's will, even Paul being in prison. That's the will of God. Now, these personal prayers of Paul, notice in the verse 18 and 19, are particularly for his ministry. He's asking prayer for that, and that's a legitimate one, so that he might make this gospel known. But he's not going to get into his personal affairs, because that should not get in the way of the vital importance of this epistle. And also the Holy Spirit, knowing this, that this epistle is going to be given to all the churches down through the ages, even down to us. And the Lord will answer these personal prayers of the Apostle Paul, which Tychicus will make known to them. But secondly, also, I think one of the reasons as well, and the Holy Spirit's wisdom, is that, remember, this epistle is written from prison. And just think for a moment, if this epistle was intercepted by some of the guards, some of the prison officials, or some governor, or somebody like that, and Paul said something about the appalling conditions that he was in, or maybe even said something legitimate about one of the governors or rulers, the letter might have been destroyed. May never have got into the hands of the Ephesians. So the epistle may have been lost. But thirdly, we must say, it is a letter from God to the church. That is essentially what this epistle is. It is the word of God. And the Lord will communicate these personal things through to the church at Ephesus, through Tychicus. And we want to be taken up this evening with this matter of the importance of reliable Christians in the church. And there's a great need for it today, isn't there? There's a great need. Here, Tychicus is certainly a very faithful man. Now, no doubt, the Ephesian Christians have great concern about the Apostle Paul. And sure, they're going to be concerned. They're going to be grieving about him. But as soon as Tychicus arrives there at Ephesus, he will not only hand the epistle, but at an appropriate time, he will share how faithful the Apostle Paul has been, and he will encourage them personally. And there's nothing like, is there, a personal testimony of encouragement. And no doubt he will encourage the Ephesians how faithful the Apostle Paul is when he arrives. And will assure them, as he speaks, of the apostles' unwavering love and determination to serve the Lord Jesus Christ right to the end. Now, with all that aside, there are some helpful lessons, I trust, tonight with regards to this man, Tychicus, and this whole subject of faithful workers and reliable people and communication in the body of Jesus Christ. Now, if you turn with me to Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the chapter 20 and the verse 4, I want to take you to the time where this man Tychicus came alongside and began to help the Apostle Paul in the work of the gospel. So let's consider this evening, we're just going to look at some of the verses of Scripture that show us what kind of a man this man Tychicus was. Acts 20 and the verse 4 there, we read, do you notice, it speaks there of Tychicus, who is of Asia. Tychicus came from the region of Asia. We're not sure exactly where, but he was a man that accompanied Paul at this time. And now the time is about 57 to 58 AD. When this epistle is written to the Ephesians is about 3 years later. So during these 3 years, there's some development in this man's life. Tychicus was responsible for bringing back some of the monetary offerings to the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was a very needy church, and some of the brethren in Asia Minor, collected money and took that money to support the dear brethren in Jerusalem, very poor church, so greatly persecuted. And Tychicus was one of the men who was sent back by the Apostle Paul to take back the monetary gift to the church in Jerusalem. So that's his beginning. What a responsibility that was. Well, nobody perhaps wanted to do that because it was a rather dangerous job. Going back with all that money, you were particularly concerned about your safety. That was one aspect of it. And then 4 years later, in AD 62, what he is entrusted with is carrying the letters to the churches. The letter here to the Ephesians and also the letter to the Colossians. Tychicus was given that responsibility. As the Apostle Paul wrote these, he was given more responsibility to take these blessed Holy Spirit-inspired epistles to the churches. If you turn to Colossians 4 and the verse 7, at Colossae, there were false teachers that came in and they were threatening the church at Colossae with all these false teachings. But the Apostle Paul masterfully in that epistle expounds the lordship and the complete sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he refutes those gainsayers and corrects the errors of those false teachers. But here, as he writes to them, he gives a word of commendation concerning Tychicus. In Colossians 4, and verse 7, we read, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done." So what is interesting here, this is the same Onesimus who Paul writes concerning when he writes to Philemon. Onesimus here is a fugitive running away from Philemon, and Paul wrote to Philemon in that epistle and encourages Philemon to receive him back again. And it is Tychicus that is to accompany him, personally accompany him back to Philemon. And now this was not one of the center stage sort of duties that one would relish, taking a fugitive back. So this is the task he's given. But he is a very faithful and he is a very rare man indeed. Solomon in Proverbs 20 in the verse 6 says, "But a faithful man who can find?" And Tychicus was such a man, willing to do even the most mundane and sometimes difficult and dangerous works. And so we read here, Colossians 4, 7, "A beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord." So he's also a minister. He ministers something of the word of God. Now, if you go a little bit further to the book of Titus, you have a further glimpse of this man, Tychicus. And this is after Paul's first imprisonment. And remember here in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, this is his first imprisonment in Ephesians. And the time in Ephesians, when he writes to the church at Ephesus and he's writing from Rome, is about AD 60, AD 61 perhaps. But this is 2 years later. This is AD 63. And the Apostle Paul, he writes to Titus, who's on the island of Crete. And if you notice in the chapter 3 in the verse 12, you'll see at the end of this epistle, Paul is writing from Nicopolis, which was a city between Berea and Corinth. So he's spent some time in prison the first occasion. The time now is AD 63, and he writes to Titus. And Titus is being sent back for some reason. So if you notice chapter 3, the verse 12, he says this, "When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter." So Paul is staying in Nicopolis, and he says to Titus, "You come to me, I'm sending you either Artemas or Tychicus." So he's being sent back, he's being sent to Paul. Now, at this time, Tychicus or Artemas is going to serve there at Crete. This time, it's not carrying money or not bringing one of the apostles' letters, but it seems that he is going to take the place of Titus for a little while. He's been given more responsibility. He's proved himself thus faithful so far. Now, if you notice in Titus chapter 1 and the verse 5, we ask the question, what was Titus doing on the island of Crete? Well, verse 5, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." So this was the task of Titus, to establish things, to put things in order, to appoint elders. Now, obviously at this time, during these years, in the various cities, there weren't elders in some of these churches. So the early teaching, as we read in Ephesians 4, about pastors and teachers, this obviously hasn't got through the way in which it's to be done in the church has not been established. And so he has to tell Titus, in these churches, appoint elders. Now, Peter, in 1 Peter 5:1, we know Peter was a pastor. He was a pastor at the church in Jerusalem. And he says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you." So some take the term here, elder, to mean a pastor. And so that was what Titus was to do, was to appoint these men in the churches. And now the time has come that he must meet the Apostle Paul at Nicopolis. This is some years later, and it is going to be this man, Tychicus, that will take over for a little while, or the other man here, Artemas. Now the question is, where did Titus go? Well, we're told in 2 Timothy 4:10, Titus went to Dalmatia. And we do know this, that eventually Tychicus was sent to Ephesus. He didn't go to Crete, but he went to Ephesus. And so now we move, if you turn with me to 2 Timothy 4:9, we move on to AD 65, AD 66, right near the end of the death of the Apostle Paul as he was executed. He's now a prisoner for the second time, for the final time. When he writes 2 Timothy, this is his last epistle, which ended in his execution in AD 66. And this is approximately 6 years after this epistle to the Ephesians. So if you turn to 2 Timothy 4:9, the Apostle Paul here is writing to Timothy and says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens, to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." And then we read, "And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus." So this, he's being sent for the final time. This is 6 years later. Now we ask, why does the Apostle Paul send Tychicus to Ephesus? Well, if you note in 2 Timothy 4:21, he says to Timothy, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." What does this mean? Well, it means that Timothy is to be there. The Apostle Paul is soon going to face his executors. And he sends for Timothy to come to him before winter. And he wants Tychicus to go to Ephesus. What a privilege this was. Probably the finest church at this time, Ephesus. Tychicus, in the end, is going to be the one, it seems, in the interim, to stand in for Timothy and to be a support there to the church. Tremendous, isn't it? We see something of the life of this man. And I think the lesson is this. In Luke's gospel, we read of the parable of the pounds. And those who are faithful over a little are given responsibility over much. And that is certainly the case, isn't it, when it comes to Tychicus. He was a man who was faithful. The man who started out doing very menial things. Man who began by transporting donations to churches and carrying epistles and doing the very sort of menial and mundane things. And yet, over time, he proves to be faithful. And so he is greatly used of the Lord. And so we read here in Ephesians 6, the verse 22, "Tychicus, who will comfort your hearts." He will comfort your hearts, and he will also comfort the church at Colossae. And so we think of this. As I mentioned, Luke, in that gospel, there's the record of the Lord Jesus Christ giving the parable of the pounds. In Luke 19:16, "Then the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good and faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And so it is here. Tychicus has been given more responsibility. A faithful man who can find, and who better than to pass on this news concerning the Apostle Paul. And also Timothy was to look for such men. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And Tychicus, as we read, was a minister of God's word. So Tychicus here is commended. Now, Tychicus was somebody who would be very reliable in communicating the truth. He wouldn't embellish the truth. He would say exactly what needed to be said concerning the Apostle Paul. Why? Because prayer needs to be offered up, so that God's people's hearts would be burdened to pray. And that's so important. You see, the state of the Apostle Paul's affairs needed to be communicated accurately to the people so that the people could pray faithfully, meaningfully for the Apostle Paul. He says in the verse 22, "Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs." Here is somebody who just not only knew things, but he was burdened for the truth. And this is what the Lord truly honors. People who are burdened for the truth. Tychicus didn't just have a head knowledge about things, but he was burdened for Paul. Faithful to Paul, he was burdened. And he would pastorally comfort the brethren. And that's so important in churches today. We don't just need people, do we? But we need people that are burdened for the truth and a burden for others. People that are burdened for God's people. Just recently heard of the update of the missionary work in Kenya. And we're thankful for those that go out there or to Sri Lanka and give a report. And those reports are so critical because the information that we get back is going to direct our prayer, surely, isn't it? And therefore, it's so vital that we get accurate information, but also heartfelt information and people that are burdened for the work. And so we really need to pray for that concern. And this is what Tychicus had. He had a burden for this. Now, let's just close with some of the things in this last two verses of this epistle, verse 23 and 24. "Peace," says the apostle, "be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace be to the brethren." Now, this is not, as we've said at the outset, this is not essentially an epistle from the Apostle Paul. Don't we say this is God's word? Surely it is God's word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And this is God's message to the church. And Paul's longing and desire, obviously by the Spirit, is that God's people will have peace. But this peace comes from God, doesn't it? It is peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father. Now it is the Holy Spirit's word. It's God's word. We're reading God's word. And this is surely not only the Apostle Paul's desire, but it is the Holy Spirit's desire. The Holy Spirit's desire. Peace. These dear Christians, while they know that the Apostle Paul is in prison, can have this one thing: peace. Why? Because Ephesians 1:11, God works all things after the counsel of his own will. The Apostle Paul is in prison for the sake of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is an ambassador in chains for the sake of Christ. And they can have peace. And they were to have peace despite the situation. despite all things seemingly going wrong. And we are always to have peace. Why? Because God is over all things. God is ever always over all things. In our lives, we can have peace. Why? First of all, because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Romans 5, the verse 1. That's the true peace that we begin to have. And then we have the peace of God, which passes all understanding, which the Apostle Paul writes when he writes to the Philippians when he was in prison. So peace be to the brethren. Something he could say despite his circumstances. Yes, peace be to the brethren. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, my peace I give you, my peace I leave you. Why peace I give you? Because he made peace for us there on the cross. And we have peace now, knowing that it is well with our souls because Christ has borne our sins in his own body. And we know Christ is building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Paul may be in prison. And you see the Holy Spirit leading and guiding here. Paul not writing all his personal details in this epistle, lest it be intercepted. But one is provided, Tychicus, who will convey all these things to the church. And he will state all of Paul's affairs to them so that they may pray for these things. God provides the people, doesn't he? The workers. And we need to thank the Lord for that. And peace be to the brethren and love with faith. Love with faith. Well, firstly, love comes from God, doesn't it? True love. Love with faith. Here we're thinking also, perhaps, of the breastplate of righteousness once again. Love with faith. Two must always go together. Faith without works is dead. Or may this be upon you. But it's, notice, from God the Father. Although it's a greeting at the same time, but it's also from God the Father. It's his word to his people that we may have this peace. And that we may have more of this love, and we may have more of this faith, and that we may experience it more. And love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our hope, isn't it? Faith in God the Father, love to him, love to one another. This is the blessing of the church. This is what God's people have. The Apostle Paul knew many difficulties, didn't he, in his life? But he always had peace. He had peace with God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wanted to encourage the churches in that peace that they have in the Lord Jesus. And he wanted the churches to be at peace and to rest in Christ and to have an increasing love and faith in the Lord. But no doubt, again, this is the Spirit-inspired word. And I believe a greeting from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ as well, as it's his word, as it is his word. God, who works all things after the counsel of his own will give his church peace. But notice the last verse, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Grace. I suppose we could say this whole epistle has been about grace, hasn't it? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. By grace have you been saved, through faith, which is the gift of God. It's all of grace. Grace which began it in eternity past. Grace which will go on. John says, and of his grace have we received grace for grace. And grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this love, again, is not a mere feeling. It is a feeling in one sense. Of course, we love him. Peter says, we love him whom we have not seen. But let me say this. Wherever When we think of this love, what is love? Paul says to the Romans in Romans 13, he says, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the directive of the law, isn't it? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength. Where there is love to God, there's grace. Grace be with them, all them that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Where there is true love, there's true obedience. It's the old saying which Abrakel coined many, many years ago, to know God is to fear God. To fear God is to love God. And to love God is to obey God. It's the connection in the Christian life. If you really have been brought to fear God by the grace of God, you will love God. And that proves that there's grace in your life. This is the prayer of the Apostle Paul, but it is the desire of the Holy Spirit, surely, as it is His word, that grace be with them that love our Lord Jesus. And that's an encouragement for us. We will have grace. We love Him. Peter loved the Lord Jesus, but Peter failed. But Peter was given grace. The Apostle Paul was given grace. And every true child of God will be given grace. Grace. From beginning to end, it's all of grace. Grace be with them all that love the Lord Jesus in sincerity. Not an unfeigned love, but a true love. Peter says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom now, though ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There are many commandments here that we see, don't we? But we will be given grace, grace, grace. We don't love as we ought. But where there is faith, there will be love. And where there is love, grace be with you. And we thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for all that we've learnt. And we must put to practice what we've learnt. And we must pray. Pray for one another. Pray for those who labor in the gospel. Thank the Lord for faithful workers. And the Lord does honor those who honor Him. We see Tychicus here, faithful. And finally coming, as I pointed there in 2 Timothy, coming, taking the place of Timothy while he goes to see the Apostle Paul in his last time. Oh, the grace of God be with us too, us all. Amen. We close with the words that were very central to our teaching and our understanding in this epistle. When we think of the grace that will be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, we also reminded of this, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee that grace shall be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. We confess that we are so weak and we are so unable in and of ourselves to do anything. But Lord, we thank Thee for grace. We thank Thee that we're saved by grace and we are kept by the power of God through faith, and that is a grace of Thine. But Lord, we shall receive grace and even more grace. We thank Thee, Father, above all for that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, as we have sung, that our lips and our lives would express the holy gospel we profess. Lord, help us in all that we do to put to practice what we know, and we may honor our blessed Lord and Savior who died for us and who bore our sins in his own body to take us to heaven and to witness for him. We thank thee for the life of the Apostle Paul. We thank thee for this man, Tychicus. And we thank thee for their labors in the gospel. And we're reminded too that our labors are not in vain, but the Lord shall reward and we shall be with thee. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.